you indicate that to change, so we and then we can quickly just go to the home if you've got any, because we've got one of the joining late.
We will just follow up. Just normally on the platform by this time, she may have challenges linking up, Jay. Ms. Herman's
chair. Yes, Honourable Moakati has just indicated to me that she's struggling network, but she will continue trying to log on.
Okay. Secretariat, if you can Honourable Moakati.
We'll see what we can do from outside, yeah. Chair. So we have two apologies that will join us later, then with the top blue.
Yeah, so I think what we can actually do the agenda, the today's meeting, I think actually look at the apologies, and in the under option, there's two items. We have the briefing by the GTICO of the performance in 2021. And we also have the consideration of the first draft of the report on the visit to Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. So those are the two on the agenda before you, all members. If ever maybe your acceptance or amendment or change, honourable members. Can we proceed, Honourable Hammond?
Good morning, Chair. I would like to propose adoption of the agenda today.
Thank you very much.
Recording in progress.
Any seconda? Honourable
Chair, we have Mr. Mbuyane, Chair.
Thank you very much. Let's check if ever there's any objection. And in the absence, we can actually then proceed. I think, yes.
Because Ms. Mwatia has joined the party on the platform.
Okay. So that's quite helpful. Welcome, Honourable Mwatia. Thanks very much. Just say there's actually slides.
Recording in progress.
We will actually inviting them just to see who's here with us. The consideration of the first draft of the report of the oversight visit to Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. The committee is to consider the first draft. Committee is to consider the first trip of its recent visit to KwaZulu-Natal, which was the necessitated impact of the vandalism in the businesses and trade in the provinces. These vandalism affected all types. those are the two issues one wanted to raise before we actually come. Just a small point, I just to inform the committee as well that I have got a booking for a flight at 12:30 from our Tambo to Kim. So there's been actually difficulty with flight. So I will actually be down while connected at 10:30. Oh, but I wanted to actually make sure that there is somebody on standby to actually take over when I'm actually stopped. So, honorable members, if you can actually just, before we take the first presentation and invite the department and the minister, be able to actually just agree that drive out, because I don't know if the connectivity, at least coming by. Can I ask that at least you, a member that can be able to assist 10:30, because I'm actually 50 kilometers from Paris, and I think if the flight is 12:30, to move at 10:30. Can I actually check honorable members, it actually assists me to get someone on standby so that I don't disrupt when I actually try to get to the TS. Yes,
Mayor, just a rules change on that. So when you chase so that we can have an acting chair operating in your absence if you're not able to connect with us. So.
Okay.
May I call then check for a nomination for acting chairman Munshi?
Honorable Mwatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning and good morning. Nomination of Honorable Wadaou. The acting chair,
your
absence.
There's a mover for an acting chair. Can I get a second?
Honorable Mutawung is in the same position as you, and she's also commuting.
Oh.
We had believed that you would act, but she is unfortunately also returning to Cape Town.
Yes. The booking, the flight type is crazy. Yeah. Can I just get a nomination? So which means actually she will be still on the same situation, honorable members.
Honorable Mwatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson, and we accept the apologies. No, the name of Honorable Mbuyane.
Honorable Mbuyane. Let's get a second.
Chairman Mutahu, hands.
Honorable Mutahu.
Before we have Ms. Mutahu, Mr. Mbuyane raised his hand, Chair, so I don't know if he has a thing to Ms. Allen.
Okay, Mbuyane.
If we can quickly just a bit quickly, Chairperson, that will ask.
So we accept that because you should be able to actually find a fund, I think it will be possible for us to do can I get a second?
Ms. Mutahu, Chair.
Honorable Mutahu.
Thanks, Chair. I second the nomination by Honorable Mwaza.
Okay, thank you very much. Because Honorable Mwaza is 9 as we actually have it. And can thank you for there's an objection.
Recording in progress.
Next slide. Okay. As a came to the GDP outlook, I think here the most important thing to note a positive and that is very important for us to maintain. And as I said, because of the mineral price boom that we now are beneficiary of, we need to be careful how those resources, the additional resources that we can, and our view is that economy must support the productive sectors, as I indicated, agriculture, construction, and the building of the required infrastructure to be competitive. Next slide. I think it should be expected that in an environment where we were dealing with a pandemic, that growth line, particularly in the private sector, would be the ability to recoup their funds and to make a profit of the investments that they need to make. And in an uncertain environment, it is always the case that primarily in the private sector, you a general investment. So this was the same picture that then followed due to the situation we were dealing with as far as COVID is concerned. And you'd see that this same picture is actually consistent even with the rest of the world. Thank you. Next slide. I think on the employment side, while employment is at around 15 million, we do still have 7.2 million of those that are unemployed, and 3.1 million of discouraged workers. And I think the 7.2 million and that 3.1 million focused our attention in terms of how do we make sure that when we are building in the recovery is built much better, it's much more inclusive, and with a lot more potential to create jobs. And that is, I think, at the core of what we are trying to achieve with the master plans that the minister has come previously to the committee to present, and the committee has taken some of those master plans, the presentation of those in much more detail in order to understand exactly how we are going to be dealing with this particular issue of unemployment. With regards to our trading situation, I had indicated previously that we had enjoyed a trade surplus, and with the rest of the world, also caution that because the surplus is on the basis of a mineral super cycle, we need to just ensure that the proceeds that come out of it are then put into infrastructure, they're put into the rest of the economy in order to diversify our dependence from the mining sector. Next slide. Here, I think what we show trade surplus, which we continue to enjoy with the rest of the continent, and of course towards the continent we are trading in manufactured value-added products, and we celebrate the fact that we have a trade, we raise the fact that for us, through initiatives such as the ASCF TA and the various initiatives to get value chains going, it's important that the rest of the continent also trades with far much more value-added goods than what we are currently seeing, that we diversify and grow that basket, and that increasingly we start trading within the continent, as we have seen with that one of the basic tenets is trading with each other. So it's important that we have it, but it's also important that we ensure that as we're working with the rest of our sister countries on the continent, we improve and diversify that trade basket. Next slide. With the deficit is narrowing, and our trade, particularly with China, would have led to this narrowing. I think mainly due to the mineral super cycle that I mentioned. Next slide. The strategic imperatives of the department that we're working towards accelerating building of an economy that is globally competitive, which is inclusive, which is able to absorb much men, and which is also built on the full potential of all citizens. And in the slides that will follow, we will start highlighting some of the activities that we have in order to address that. And these are the programs of the department and of the 34 KPIs that we set ourselves. We're able to achieve 29, and in the main, those KPIs that were not achieved were linked to refocusing that had to be done in order to deal with the challenges arising from COVID, and in instances where our plans would have been disrupted by the COVID pandemic, and we were moved to immediate actions that needed to be done in order to continue to support the economy. I'll talk about some of those actions when I report on the various performance of the different programs of the department. Next slide. Right. I think in administration, the most important to mention, in as far as our KPIs are concerned and what we're able to achieve, is that against a target of maintaining level services being done or those posts being occupied by women, the department has recorded 53%. Similarly with people who are living with disabilities, against the target of 3.5, we've recorded 3.9. And then with regards to creditors, who mission, including the work that we were doing on trips, which then led to the agreement, many developing countries to form part of the production chain, particularly of pharmaceuticals, at a time where we need vaccines. I've spoken to this slide. Next slide. And Chair, I note that the colleagues may have updated a slightly older version than the last version that we had some Parliament. And nonetheless, we would just work time that we had submitted. So on the industrial side, we continued with the work that we had brought to the committee in as far as the top line concerns, the fact that this is not fully financed. Contractors, most are located in that is that it's one of those SCZs, as we had indicated previously, and that epitomizes the model that we will be following going forward. That if we are not sure that there will be investor take up, so that we reduce the time infrastructure investment that must get an that up and going, and getting the getting investors in, getting jobs going, and making sure that we get returns from that investment. So it's I think an important example of how we are going to be taking the SCZ program forward, and what we are dealing with in as far as the scale of investment in the 20. And we're talking about a $1 billion investment that has been injected into the economy. Next slide, please. So that that investment also as part of our master plans. Again, as I indicated, that our intention is to ensure that as we work with the different companies to various sectors where the DTMC operates, that we do so in a way that is much more inclusive. So we have now used the equity equivalent program, which is part of the BBBEE program, to support entry of SMMEs along the auto value chain, and so far we've got 7 OEMs that are part of that initiative, and they have set aside 6 billion that would then be used to assist our local get market access, and also be at a position that they can exploit the potential inclusion next slide thank you, and the growth program. This is where mainly our master plan programs are located. Work on the agro master plan that has been made available to support agro processing sector, and that funding is with the IDC. Similarly, with the furniture master plan, we've concluded that one now, and on that master plan. now we co-own this master plan with industry, and all of us are committed to the actions. Very soon, we will then be coming to Parliament, as we have done with a number of the other master plan progress with regards to implement. And I think we've done it for steel and metal fabrication. We've done it for the sugar sector. I think we've also done it for poultry. So what that signing signifies is that now we are poised to start with implementation with our different stakeholders and partners to the committee with further feedback. Next slide. will use our projected investment to support around 13,000 jobs secured through our programs, and we have developed an economy. Facility program in the form of an interest makeup scheme, and retain the industrial capacity, and this is sure to forge a relationship that will help to ensure that there is funding that flows to the productive sectors of the economy. We're not yet at the point where we can announce some of the key milestones that we have locked in, but I'm sure very soon we will. Now.
Recording in progress.
In the market, that we anticipate those products to go, and also in the margin where we are already participating. So this program, from the report that you would have received, that there will be a number of online interventions that we had done as the DTLC. We had done also those in partnership with a number of local and international players. Next slide. Okay. And these are some of the work that we are targeting in Asia and the Middle East, and also in Africa. Of course, this will include the US, Canada, and a number of islands and those countries that are in both North and South America. Next slide. In terms of our inward investor attract facilitation chairperson, we've achieved the pact we had set ourselves of 11.1 billion. There are a number of major investments that even through a very difficult time, we were able to secure. And as is part of the work of our program aid, we were challenges for companies to make sure that they invest as quickly as possible. They are able to get their experts as quickly as possible in the country so that
recording in progress.
The commission was right in order to ensure that any price gouging that might take place would be subjected to the provisions of what we expect as normal behavior in competition. And they've taken a number of players to task for that accepted behavior. That we have been able to achieve is use the measures and the competition outcome to starting aside funds in collaboration with partners in industry. What we are seeing here is the Coca-Cola merger through which we were able to create a localization platform, and this platform is supposed to avail resources to local enterprises to support localization. And through this work, I think Coca-Cola has now increased of sugar from Africa in order to supply to packages and that sugarcane manufacturers or other farmers. And here is where I think the consolidation of the work that we do for sector development comes in.
Recording in progress.
With the social partners around the impact of COVID-19 and the important interventions that must be put in place in order to support our communities, to support the investing public, to support our entrepreneurs. This very difficult time, and they've also been engaging between the different or levels or phases of government through MINMEX, so that alignment that is critical for us to implement the programs of the department accurately and make sure that we are also supportive of the local programs that have been put together, the province. The performance, I'll just indicate that we have spent 7.5% of our budget.
Recording in progress.
Due to a number of circumstances, we have paid a little less than what ordinarily we would have been expected to pay. So on the financial side, we spent a large to us through to respond to that situation that happened in KZN and parts of Gauteng, and also on the economic recovery process going forward. Chair, with that, thank you very much.
Recording in progress.
Well, keep my video switched off. I've got a bit of a signal problem in the past park. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Now, I'll be short. Just two comments, which is actually a general comment that I can make it after all the presentations. And with reference to risk to outlook, part of the presentation in page 4, and there are two ideas that I wish to establish and I want to present it to comment on. The first one being that the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition cannot exist on its own isolation. We all know that that's a fact. Economic growth of South Africa will also depend on the ability of local government to deliver service. We know that the department's localization and the model for growth is based on the assumption that local government will be able to provide the supporting services, which is in fact is not possible. It's not going to happen. What I want to know is, was this taken into account when this report was that all these as a report the influence that local government of service delivery has got, and the second one in corruption. I see no mention of state captured corruption and the influence that unfortunate occurrence had on the economy of the fourth quarter. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Honourable Trin.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, firstly, I think just appreciation as well for the presentation. And obviously, as the ACDP, there are some concerns. One of the major concerns that we have is the continued increase in unemployment. One of the goals of DTIC is to look at creating employment and to ensure that we also have a sustainable economy, which means sustainable businesses across the country. And one of our roles is to support those businesses so that we could actually see an uptick in employment. Sadly, unemployment continues to increase. Just over 30% from the expanded definition of unemployment is probably over 40%. And my big concern there is that a large percentage of those that are unemployed, between 50 to 70%, is youth unemployment. So clearly, Chair, we still have a long way to go. Yes, we are coming off from the COVID, the lockdown, which have hampered many of our business, and in fact decimated some, where there are some that will not be able to due to the lockdowns. I do think that, however, having said that, our responsibility is to look at some of the low-hanging fruit where we are actually able to increase employment. The other aspect is the fact that while we have the pandemic, I think clearly South Africa was already in financial difficulties with the your agencies declaring the economy to a junk status, junk status level. So what our business actually had is lots of mismanaged corruption. That has actually seen our economy and bringing our economy to the position that it currently is. So yes, Chair, there's a long way to go. I think when one looks at the slide on post-fixed capital formation and the decline in the domestic investment decrease there of some 2.5%, I think it was in the fourth of 2021. It again also is an input of what the market is looking like, because clearly if we want to see direct investment, we have to look at increasing domestic sentiment. And so when domestic sentiment in terms of economy is high, that also acts as an incentive for foreign direct investment. So I think it is a concern that we've seen the gross fixed capital formation in the particularly in the area of domestic decline in domestic investment. And so that too is a concern. We have to look at increasing the capacity of our local our local businesses to grow the economy. I think, Chair, my final comment would be on one of the slides that says, you know, more vaccines, more jobs. We must vaccines to a lot of people in the trial phase. This has been confirmed by you know, Pfizer, Johnson, you know, many of the manufacturers. It's trial three, the third phase of the trial. And so around the world, what we are still seeing is a phase of the vaccine. The FDA has not approved the vaccine for use, only for emergency use. So there are some concerns, and even certainly members of parliament have recognized, you know, more vaccines, more jobs. The president of the country, and this seems to be moving towards I'm talking now specifically about the move to make vaccines mandatory. We move the position of the president of the country. Vaccines will not be made mandatory. But Chair, what we have seen is many businesses, and there's a list of about 10 that we currently have, that are moving, their employers are moving towards making vaccines mandatory, putting a huge number of employees at risk. Some are even prepared to resign, and this will affect the unemployment problem. So clearly, we must not have mixed ages with regards to vaccines, where the Minister of Labour and Employment basically issued a brief making, giving employers the opportunity to make vaccines entry within their field of business. Is divisive and clearly may actually result in more jobs being lost. These are just some of my comments. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, we have Mr. Mbuyani, Chair.
Honourable Mbuyani.
Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. Let me first welcome the report. It's more informative and something, Chairperson. I just have some clarity-seeking questions around the report. One which is the procurement and localization. Have any certified progress for this specific and the localization? Do we have any set aside to say this is young of nature and this percentage must be of a set aside program trying to deal with the procurement program and also the localization? Chairperson, the other one is the status quo of the SEZ, in particular the one of Nkomazi as agro-processing, and also trying to check in on the Mpumalanga. Chairperson, we welcome the intervention by the department in terms of the economic distress program in capacity of the industry and also job retain. But to check, man, in terms of the industry, that in terms of provincial intervention, in terms of uptakes, black industrialists, can we be clarified what is in those more outskirts to can intervene? Because Jefferson is alluded to. That province must be taken care of because economy is not only to economy viable. I just want to check the rural economic development program in terms of the AFDIs, in initiative and building of those provinces, because really, if there are no substantive proposals in terms of business, maybe they lack capacity somehow. Just want to check the department in terms of awareness campaign of all packages that is in the DIC. And also, Chairperson, the realignment of the master plan, I think it will also, as that meant, we have some master on other departments. So I think the realignment must be able to assist in the economic growth and development, Chairperson. I pause there for now. Thank you for the opportunity.
Be Secretary, if there are any further
hands. No further hands.
Okay. Let me just say then now we will actually request the department to actually give feedback and response to the questions that are raised. And I think it will be a point where Honorable Mbuyane will then take over the response from the department. I will be staying connected on secretariat, and I'm sure we can be involved from there. Let's actually hear the department DG in terms of the issues raised.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll ask some of my colleagues to come in with some of the questions. I'm going to just give an overall response to cover, I think, most of the questions, but on some of the specifics, I'll then specifically ask my colleague capacity of our local government in general to provide services that assist us. That might take place would be subjected to the provisions of what we expect as normal behavior in competition law, and they've taken a number of players to task for breaching that accepted behavior. But one of the things that we have been able to achieve is use the measures and the competition outcomes to start putting aside funds in collaboration with partners in industry. What we are highlighting here is the Coca-Cola measure through which we were able to create a localization platform, and this platform is supposed to avail important resources to local enterprises to support localization. And through this work, I think Coca-Cola itself has now increased procurement of sugar from South Africa in order to support particularly black sugarcane manufacturers, or rather farmers. And here, this is where I think the consolidation of the work that we do for sector development comes in with what we do on competition policy. And I think the reason that this measure is beginning to make a lot more sense that while we're dealing with competition issues, we need to deal with it in such a way that it broadens participation, especially of small players, and it allows those small players to be embedded in a supply chain that they would otherwise have been excluded out of. Next slide, please. On the program 10, this is the Economic Research and Coordination Program, a program where we use research as a basis to assist in the different municipalities. So it's a real one that does need to be corrected, and as we are engaging and working with these municipalities, these are some of the issues that we would raise with them, and where we know that it's a serious capacity challenge that can be solved even by raising the issue, we do bring in the critical infrastructure program. But we believe that the approach that the president has taken in terms of regional development is actually going to be the approach that will help us through this this issue. Then on the issue of the vaccines and what we mentioned in the presentation, we are using the scientific advice that has been made available by the relevant organizations that says that we do need to stabilize the economy. We do need to make sure that when people interact, they interact in the safest of manner, and that the available response at the moment, it is the vaccines, it is in addition the guidelines of wearing masks, of sanitizing, and of social distancing. So what we are putting in the presentation is based on the advice that is currently available and the advice that we've also seen with different countries that are stabilizing their economies and are using those mechanisms to come out, to help the economy come out of the restrictions so that the economy is more stable and it can be poised to grow. If that advice changes, new ideas come from the medical fraternity that are also what is part of the general practice, I think we would also be informed by that. What we are not saying in this in the presentation, we're not making a view on whether anything should be made mandatory. We are just emphasizing what we are seeing as what is working in countries that are now emerging out of the negative effects of COVID. And not only are we saying that, we are also placing South Africa, I think, in the forefront of the response through our own manufacturing capability to ensure that some of these things are manufactured here in South Africa, and they are part of our response to the pandemic that continues actually throughout the world. We agree with Honorable Frank that the 70% of unemployment, which is really a burden that the youth are carrying, is not sustainable, and it is urgent that it be resolved. And as we've indicated, that at the moment within the department, through our master plans, through the different programs that we are implementing, we are looking at solutions to that, but there are broader and bigger solutions that at the government level we also need to be considering, particularly for the youth, to ensure that we stem this tide of people that may have had many years, maybe since high school, and in some instances even since university, that people will stay at home
for 5, 6, 7 years without a day in a workplace. Hence, with our equity equivalent programs, we are now using the instrument of BEE to help inclusion, that bring young people in, help the small enterprises so that they have an opportunity to grow and be able to absorb many more people into the economy. Honorable Mbuyane asked the question on procurement and localization. Again, on procurement, our message has been consistent, and I think now there are many more companies that are understanding what we mean when we say they need to to prioritize production of goods here in South Africa, so that we don't export jobs unnecessarily, and they don't need to deal with the pressure of the effects of unemployment. And through the master plans, there's not one master plan where the issue of procurement has been challenged. What we are seeing is a number of these companies looking for ways where we can increase local production, and we can increase also uptake, market access, that can be made available to local manufacturers. So this area of work through the master plans is really is center stage of how the master plan process is coming together. The different target groups, we continue to monitor that. Youth, women, we monitor that even beyond the local production and the designation through the different programs that the department is implementing. So on designation, there are a number of products that we have already designated. I'll give an example of the clothing and the textile sector that has been designated for a while. And now we are challenging every single company. We also are challenging South Africans that beyond just the designation, which really is a reflection of how government procurement should prioritize local manufacturing. Even all of us as South Africans, we need to support local manufacturers. And as we do that in their different sizes, we are supporting local jobs. We still are seeing instances where these designations are not being observed in the way that we would like them to be observed. It is worrying to us why such a simple matter becomes very complex unnecessarily, because we all understand that if you're not buying from South Africa, you literally are supporting jobs being created elsewhere. So the need for a culture change is there, and there are a number of companies that have started in that regard. And this is where, again, when we talk about just the consciousness of our industry and the consciousness of our customers, this is the one area where all of us can do a lot more by just being vigilant that where really it doesn't make sense to buy something from elsewhere. We insist that we are buying it from South Africa. So the issue of procurement and the localization designation, which we also now want to see more of by the private sector, remains an important priority. And I think Parliament is absolutely correct that we hold not just the department, but every single entity, and also the public at large, that we have to change our consumption patterns to create demand. And when we create demand, the companies will come to meet that demand. And most companies now that are shutting down, they're shutting down because there is no demand. And some of these products have been replaced by imports really unnecessarily, because it's not always the case that South African products are expensive. It is just a worrisome trend that South African products sometimes seem to be locked out of South African value chains. And this is part of the work that we are trying to address through the master plan. My colleague Maudu will talk, Honorable Mbuyane, more about the Nkomasi Industrial Park in Mpumalanga. I've spoken about some of the challenges with the take up. We are trying the road shows, but of course with limitations arising from our ways of mitigating COVID. So some of the other ways is going now to community radios to try and garner as much support for the work that we do and hear from living entrepreneurs what would be some of the challenges for them to access the funding and the support measures that the DTIC is putting together. But at local level, Honorable Mbuyane, if I have to be honest, we do find that beyond the important infrastructure challenges that may be there, just the knowledge from some of our colleagues of what is happening in their own localities, the enterprises there, is not what where it needs to be. So our colleagues, even from the export side, are now working with the municipalities so that the registration of some of the potential exporters it's done in a way that the municipalities would be aware of the different enterprises that are in their own locality. And the master plans, I've spoken about it. So I'll just ask, in addition to Maudu, if Stephen, you can maybe come in on some of the issues related to the points that Honorable Fring would have raised. And even Honorable Mulder would have phrased. And if there's any other colleagues that may want to also add, they are welcome to do so. So over to you, Acting DDG Maudu, and then to our Chief Economist, Stephen Hanifa. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, DG, and thanks, Chair. Thanks, Honorable Mbuyane, for that question. I think for some time now, the challenges in the Mpumalanga area have been raised generally so by the honorable members. Even at the DTIC, we were quite concerned about the snail pace on the implementation of Nkomazi SEZ. The challenges there were emanating from two areas. The first one was just issues around the instabilities in the province. I think in the last presentation to the portfolio committee, we had raised the same concern that there has been a serious turnover at both MEGA and the department that are responsible for the SEZ. I lost count of how many acting HODs and MECs we've met in the province. Even to date, MEGA, which was responsible for the implementation, still doesn't have a CEO. They've only appointed the board yesterday. So that was part of the reason why there has been a challenge in terms of the implementation, but also the coordination. As the DG has indicated, we've had challenges with regards to the coordination between provinces and municipalities. And part of the reasons why most of the SEZs get delayed is because of the approval processes. So in some instances, it could be EIAs, township establishment, the water use license, or even building plans. So that was part of the challenge that we encountered. But since the introduction of the new reconfigured approach to the implementation of the SEZ program by the minister, which was approved by cabinet, which then sought to instill and strengthen the involvement of national government in the implementation of this SEZ, because majority of the SEZs are owned by provinces, they're implemented and managed by the provinces. That the DTI only provides policy direction, but now with the new approach, we are directly involved. So since the involvement of the DTIC in the Mpumalanga province, there has been some improvements in so far as the implementation. When we got involved earlier this year, there was not even a company that was running the affairs of the SEZ. But since we got involved, we've now managed to establish an SEZ company. They've seconded number of people. They've seconded they also have a full-time CFO now. They're working on the secondment of the CEO, who then be in charge of the SEZ program. We've also deployed our national PMU, which is led by the former DG, Mr. Lionel October, which is also providing technical support to the implementation of the SEZ program. So we're currently building systems for the company, but on the ground, we're also finalizing the town planning issues. One of the key challenges issues that we're currently dealing with in partnership with our stakeholders is that when we submitted the application for EIAs and township establishment to SANRAL, SANRAL gave us a feedback and indicated that because of the volume of traffic that will go inside the SEZ, we need to build an interchange on the N4. But we're now engaging with them to just give them addendum to indicate that the SEZ will be developed gradually. So even the traffic impacts will not be that huge in the next 2, 3, 4 years. So once we get that, it will be a dust on the ground. We'll begin with the site clearance, with the fencing and the bulk infrastructure. But I'm confident, Honorable Mbwene, that now with our involvement, we're seeing a lot of improvements. We've appointed the full-time board. So all the things that we've been worried about as the national government, I think they have been clarified. And similar thing, we're going to be implementing this. So even the coordination level, we're implementing the SEZ within the context of the development model. So we're no longer allowing the province to be a sole driver of the SEZ. We are saying that as we develop the SEZ, all three spheres of government must be involved at the level of coordination and management of the SEZ. So in that region, we're working with the Nkomati municipality, we're working with Ekhazeni, which is the district, we're working with the province and agencies, and we've rolled as the DTIC. So in terms of coordination, we have provided a direction in terms of the involvement of all spheres of government, clarification of roles and responsibilities. So the same thing would also be replicated insofar as the industrial park, such as Eka Industrial, which for some time is a real problem. So we're quite confident, Honorable Mbwene, that we're going to achieve the set targets now. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, DG, and good morning to the Honorable Chair and the Honorable Members. So perhaps just to respond to two of the questions and comments made, Honorable Mulder, yes, of course, the impact of corruption is hard to calculate, but we do know that it's been very substantial over the years. And I think the one point that we would want to make is that there seems to always be a coincidence of corruption where the product is being imported. So we've seen this on a number of occasions, whether it's the trains for Prasa and Transnet, whether it's been elements of the BOL program in Madupi and Kusile, and I think even more recently on the PPEs last year, the SIU report suggests that significant corruption took place where imports were coming in of whether it's masks, whether it's surgical gloves and the like. And of course, members will know that the DTI was at the forefront of getting companies, local companies, to ramp up production to supply what we knew would be a significant spike in demand in responding to the to the COVID emergency. And so we think it's a point that we really need to keep making, that it's not always the case that imports are associated with corruption. Of course, we're not saying that, but it is the case that there is often a coincidence of corruption associated with local companies being bypassed by procuring entities wishing to purchase goods from abroad. And so we're particularly vigilant around that. And one of the interventions that we've had as part of the Economic Reconstruction and Recovery Plan announced by the President last year is that both departments, state entities, and private sector companies have been asked to report in much more detail on their localization activities, on the percentage of their value chain that has been localized, so that we can also begin to get a handle on where the biggest opportunities are to expand localization. We have to always take the view that the opportunities in localization is dynamic, including, as the DG was indicating, on the side of vaccine production. There are definitely opportunities for localization, and we have to exploit those wherever we can. Then in terms of Honorable Mbeyane's question around the master plans, so I think it's important to make the point that the GTIC master plans we've reported on in a bit of detail in the presentation, and there'll be a lot more information coming to the Portfolio Committee in the annual report presentation. But in terms of the master plans that have been developed outside of PTI, so this would include, for example, the Oceans Economy Master Plan, the Digital Economy Master Plan, the Renewable Energy Master Plan. There's also a Cannabis Master Plan that's underway. There's a Global Business Services Master Plan that is being considered at the moment for development. In many cases, the processes have been a little bit delayed as a result of COVID-19 and the lockdown last year. But the broader Master Plan Steering Committee met a few weeks ago now. We took stock of all the master plan processes involving more than 12 economic ministries. And we're happy to report that although the progress is still a little bit uneven, there's overall very good progress. There are a few master plans that we expect to be finalized within the next 3 months or so. This would include implementation of the Forestry Master Plan, which has already been approved by Cabinet. We think that the Oceans Economy Master Plan is really moving with speed, and we think that there's a very high likelihood that that will also be approved within the next 3 months. The Renewable Energy Master Plan is really moving at pace as well. Honourable members will be aware of the President's announcement earlier this year. That's really given some momentum to that, and where we are in that discussion now is really about driving the localization element. So beginning to develop the analysis of what the localization opportunity is, how many jobs could be created if we're able to localize some of the components that go into the renewable energy build program, and then actually beginning to put in place the programs that will develop those suppliers to be able to supply into the program. So in that particular master plan, there's also been very good progress by the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, and we understand that there's likely to be a executive oversight committee meeting of that master plan in the next few weeks. So, Honourable Chair, I think on the master plans that sit outside of DTI, the progress has been a little bit uneven, but we're really seeing some momentum building now, and we expect that within the next 3 months or so, there'll be some really significant announcements of progress there. And of course, the proof of the pudding is always going to be in terms of whether those master plans can create the jobs that Honourable Singh was alluding to, the jobs for young people, and the jobs also for women, as well as jobs in more rural areas. And that's where, for example, the agriculture and agro-processing master plan will be really critical. Thanks, Chairperson. Thank you, DG. I'd like to stop there.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think from our side, those would be the responses to the questions that were posed to the department. Back to you, Honourable Chair.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Acting DG, Malebo Thompson, and the A-team for the swift response. Secretariat, if there's any other clarity-seeking question, you can take it.
Chair, there is no hands, any additional hands, Chair, so we can conclude the session.
Okay, so thank you very much. Let's give DG Malebo Thompson just a conclusion remarks, 1 minute conclusion remarks, so that we can move to another item. Thank you.
Chair, and thank you to the members, and thank you for the useful input that the members have made. We do take some of, we take actually all your input seriously. Areas where you have challenged us to think differently, to do differently, we do take that into account, and it's what we will then be taking forward as we are implementing the program. Thank you for inviting us to come and present this fourth quarter report. As I had indicated, we are well seized with the issues of early waves that happened in KZN and some parts of Gauteng. And as the committee has already requested the department to come, the minister will be doing so in a short while, in agreement with the date set by the committee. So on behalf of the colleagues, chairperson, and of the department, thank you very much to all the members for their useful input and direction. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much, DG. We're stepping off this item, Secretariat. The next item.
Chair, if I may, Chair.
Yes, you can continue, Secretariat.
Chair, the next item on the agenda is consideration of the first draft of the oversight report. There is an oversight report to KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. We will flight the report, and Sekwanda Madelani will take the committee through the report for their input, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. You can continue, Secretariat. Madala.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members. Andre, could you please make me a co-host? I'm unable to share.
You are co-host now. My apologies.
Thank you. Good morning, members. I will be taking you through the draft oversight report. This is the first draft report, which was sent to members yesterday afternoon. I will go through the report. However, I'll focus on the key issues, particularly the issues of engagement between the different stakeholders that we met and the committee. That will be the focus of the report. If that is okay with members, that we don't go through line by line, instead we focus on the issues. Would that be okay, Chair? Andre? Okay with
it. I think we're waiting for the chair to give you a go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, no, thank you. You can continue, Secretariat.
Okay, Chair. The first part is the introduction. The introduction outlines the events that led us going to the oversight. Then the next section of the introduction states the purpose of our visit to KZN and Gauteng, as well as the targeted areas that we went to. It also highlights that this was, in some parts, this oversight was a joint venture between our portfolio committee, which is the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry, the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development, as well as the Select Committee on Trade, Industry, Economic Development, Small Business, Tourism, and Employment and Labour. How the report is structured, how we've tried to structure the report is to rather separate it by visits to large enterprises as well as medium enterprises. Then the next session would, the next section focused on small business. So members, what members would see is that the report is not structured by province, but rather by the type of enterprises we visited. The next section is the delegation, which were members that were present during the oversight as well as support. Then if we go to number two, so as I mentioned earlier that we separated the content of the report by medium and large enterprises, which is section one. Mainly that was the visit to KZN, the companies we visited in KZN. In this section, what we try to do is to, for each of the companies we visited, bring a brief introduction of the company as well as the extent of the impact of the looting and the violence on the company. And then the next section, we then brought out the issues which members engaged on with the company. As I said earlier, I'm not going to go through the overview of each company as well as the impact of the looting, since members have had the report, but I'll focus on issues that were discussed with each of the stakeholders. If members can move to page, we are now on page four. This is the engagement we had with Kings Park manufacturers. They are manufacturers of clothing, particularly for the Foschini Group. They manufacture for them, and they also manufacture for other companies, corporate uniform companies such as Nando's and Spa. Among the issues that were discussed is the issue of job losses following the looting and the vandalism in the company. Members would remember that this company also experienced the burning of one of their factories. So the committee discussed the issue of job losses. And while the company at the time had not officially laid off people, there were people that were not back at work yet. Out of the 600 people that the company had, only 80 people at the time were back at work. And the company noted that they would need approximately 9.1 million to get half of the staff back to work. Another issue that that we discussed with the company was the loss of investment. The members of the committee inquired about the loss that the company has incurred, and the company estimated the loss to be between 20 and 22 million. This would include building and machinery alone. There's also losses which relate to potential profits, and those had not been estimated at the time of our visit. The next issue that we discussed with the company was the issue of imports. Given that the company is no longer able to produce at the capacity because of these incidences, the company feared that the companies that they supply may switch from local production, which is not happening at the previous capacity, they may switch that to imports. While the company is unable to produce and they're getting their business back, the companies that they used to supply would then buy imports in the meantime. This is a real concern because if that were to happen, it would take time for this company to gain the space back. They mentioned up to 10 years to get a space back if your product has been substituted with imports. So that was a real concern for the company as well as the committee. because as we know, South Africa, we're trying to industrialize and making sure that we produce locally. If things, if this happens, it will also impact on the bigger goal of the country. Another issue that we discussed with the company was the issue of support from the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, as well as the IDC. The company said that they had been in contact with the IDC and the DTIC, and they were receiving a great deal of support. However, the challenges that they were facing were related to documentation that was required for them to access funding from IDC and DTI, because not only had they lost the factory, they had also lost their offices, so as well as their computers. So backup to documents would have been difficult to find. So they're working to get those documents together and submit. That also would now delay their process of accessing the funding that they need, urgently. Another issue that we discussed with the company was the impact of value chain. So beyond the impact on the company itself, the company has other suppliers. Those suppliers are now affected, indirectly affected by this, because the company has less people back at work. So the things that they need to procure, they procure less of. For example, they mentioned as an example that they used to buy coffee and tea for their employees, which was 600. But now with less employees, they buy less. So now it's affecting the company that from which they buy coffee. They also mention things such as toilet paper. So as much as we visited companies that were directly affected, there are other companies which are indirectly affected by this. The next one we went, we talked about was the issue of insurance. The company said that they did have insurance and they had submitted claims, but they were waiting feedback from the insurers. But another thing that they highlighted was that the process are taking so long because even the insurance companies now are overwhelmed with the amount of claims that they're getting. One example was that for them to get an assessor into their factory, it took 2 weeks, which is a long time when you really need your claim to be processed as soon as possible. Then I'll move to the next one. The next one is Siyaphambili Manufacturing. Then I will go to page 6 for the issues that we discussed with them. Siyaphambili is a cable company that has employees, and they had also been significantly affected with looting as well as vandalism of their offices, and they've lost millions worth of cables. Of the 30 employees at the time, only 8 were back, and the 8 that were back were back to help with the cleanup and restoring the company, rather than actual work. Then we discussed losses. While the company had not had like a full determination of losses, they highlighted that they had lost cables worth over 500,000, as well as expensive diagnostic equipment. We will move to the next one. The next one is SA AMCO. The issues are on page 7. I hope I'm not moving too fast.
Yeah, no, we are still in text. We are still in text. You can continue.
Okay, I'm trying to also manage time because this is a lot of information. Then we went to SA AMCO. SA AMCO, we discussed also the issue of jobs. SA AMCO, they were not operating when we visited them. The employees were still at home because their building was badly bent, and it would take time to demolish first the building as well as rebuild. That also takes us to number 2B. They said that to demolish the building, it first needed to be demolished, which would take up to 8 months. Then rebuilding would then take up to 18 months, which means up to 2 years, people would remain without jobs. Then we discussed issues of replacement costs. So they highlighted a figure of 1.3 billion of estimated cost, which excludes salaries as well as profits. Similar to the clothing manufacturer, we also discussed the issue of imports with FA Ampo, is that the companies that they supply would now switch to imports. However, the situation was different with FA Ampo. What's different is that they have other companies in same company but in different countries. So rather than their customers importing from other companies, they would still import from FA Ampo but in a different country. Then another one we discussed was issue of insurance claim. They had said that they were awaiting feedback. They had put on a claim. Another issue that we discussed was the issue of foreign direct investment. As we know, SA Ampo is owned by foreign investors, which are not South African. It is therefore a foreign direct investment into the country. While the local managers had put proposals to the international investors for rebuilding and starting fresh, they were still awaiting a decision on that. So there was a bit of uncertainty on the way forward. Another issue that we discussed was the issue of law enforcement during the looting and the violence. They noted that while they had called law enforcement was unable to deal with the amount of people that were around, as the streets around the factory were closed. Another one that we visited was Trico Electrical. Trico Electrical is a black industrialist company, which has 48 employees. It had also been looted, with the building and the cars and their cars there. They had lost significant amount of cables. We were, however, unable to engage with the management or the owners of this company because they were not on site. However, we were taken around the site by Mr. Clausen. Then we moved to the next one, which is the United Pharmaceutical Distributors, which is also linked to the Clicks group. The issues are on page 10. Can I still continue, Chair?
Yes, you can continue, not unless there are clarifying questions, but we'll have inputs on after your presentation. Thank you.
Okay, Chair. Then on UPD, we discussed the issue of arrests of the culprits. They noted that the vandalism was in a way planned because the cameras that were in the building had been disabled. However, there is one that they might get and possibly get some feed from it to possibly initiates the issue of arrest with the police. The next issue that we discussed with them was the issue of a stolen Shaco 6 drugs, as well as the vaccines. What happened with vaccines is that the fridge that vaccines were stored in had been plug removed, so the fridge was not working, which compromised the safety of the vaccine. So they had to destroy those vaccines. Those are COVID-19 vaccines, and they estimated a value of 4.9 million. This had an impact on access to vaccines then in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. This links to the next one, the impact of looting on the healthcare sector. The next one we visited was Transform. Transform is linked to the ShopRite group. So Transform issue was sort of different. They were not directly affected by the looting. They had tried to protect their distribution center, so they were not affected directly by the looting. However, their supply chains were affected because of disruptions in the province. The distribution took longer, and they were struggling to distribute the products. But the strategies that they've used now, one of the issues that was raised by members was the lead time between getting the products. And they had said that that had moved from 48 hours to up to 2 weeks. So they needed to make contingents for that, so they would keep 2 weeks of stock. Then we spoke about their protection strategy. I think one of the things that they highlighted is that they were in a fortunate position because they were able to get security to protect their premises, and they tried different strategies. That is why they were not affected by directly affected by the looting and the vandalism. The next one that we visited was Malé. Malé is a German company which is 100% foreign owned. With Malé, similar to Transform, there was no direct impact. However, there was indirect impact because production had to stop because employees were unable to come to work. So even with companies that were not directly affected, there is indirect effect on those companies. The next one would be Tiger Brands. For Tiger Brands, under Tiger Brands, we engaged with Albany Bakery, Testic, as well as their snacks and treats division, which is Beacon Snacks and Treats division. So they were also all three were affected, but the main one that was affected was Albany Bakery. So with them, the committee discussed the loss and the loss to equipment that was damaged, the factories, as well as the finished goods that were looted. I must say that the Tiger Brands divisions were back in operations at the time when the committee visited. However, they cited significant losses. Testing Rice cited losses of finished goods of up to 55 million and 150 million lost in sales. And because the impact goes beyond the period from which the looting happened, they said that they would incur further losses in terms of sales for the month of August, which is approximately 28 million. The Beacon Snacks and Treats plant had lost stock of approximately 58 million. Then another matter that arose was the issue of security of investment in political risk. However, the question, while it was not responded to, the committee did raise. Another issue was getting back to operations, which they had said that they were back in operations. However, they were not back into full operation mode because there were equipment that had been damaged during this period, that needed to be either serviced or imported, and that would take quite some time. Then the next one was Cipla. On page, starting on bottom of page 14. So we visited Cipla. Cipla is a medicine manufacturer, mainly ARVs. So what happened at Cipla is that people got into the plant, which compromised their standards, because if you're producing medicines, you are required to comply to certain standards. For example, you wouldn't get into a medicine manufacturing plant without having the proper gear to protect yourself and to protect the plant. So with people getting in, it compromised that, which meant that Cipla had to not only fix the vandalism that happened in the plant, but also do a requalification to ensure that the plant meets the new standards, which we reached. So with Cipla, they said that to get the plant operational again, it would take up to 4 months to get that again, because it's not only a process of fixing what has been vandalized, it's a matter of getting new equipment that would also need to be imported. Another issue is that because they lost a significant amount of the inputs for which they use for medicine, they were engaging the Department of Health to get permits to import those inputs. However, that negotiation with the Department of Health was still ongoing. The next issue that the committee raised was the issue of tariffs and local procurement law. So the committee wanted to find out if there's any laws that would prohibit them from importing this. And they confirmed that from the Department of Trade and Industry side, which is trade, there were no laws that would be challenging for them to import this. However, there were requirements from SAPRA, which is an entity of the Department of Health, because SAPRA has requirements of where the product would be imported from, whether the manufacturer is registered with them or not, and other requirements. So they were targeting to import from India. However, that was also still an issue of negotiation with the Department of Health and SAPRA. The next one was issue of security. At the time, they had said that they've intensified their security because they had seen that they had not had enough security at the time of the incident. The next one was Tonga Tulit. The committee, when we engaged with Tonga Tulit, they made a significant presentation to the committee. However, that presentation did not focus on what the committee was there for, because the committee was there to understand the impact of looting on the company. Tonga's presentation focused on the broader issues of the sugar industry, which included your transformation, your sustainability, as well as the development of small scale growers. So that we could not get much out of Tonga for that. However, we also, on our way out, we also were shown the Shoprite Center, as well as other shops that had been looted, vandalized, and burnt. So those are the companies that we visited in KZN, which are medium and large enterprises. I will move now to the section on small businesses and informal traders. So the committee joined the other two committees, as I've mentioned earlier, which is the PC on Small Business, as well as the Select Committee. The issues in this section also include the visits to KZN and the visits to Gauteng, because the issues with small business were similar. So this section is issue-based. So if an issue was, if some issues are similar in KZN and Gauteng. So we visited different areas, different malls, informal traders in both areas. So the one issue was for members to understand the extent of the damage on the provinces, which is on page 16. As we move to page 17, then the issue of losses of stock, income, and profits to owners of businesses as well as informal traders and informal traders was raised. Is that not only were the shops were affected, informal traders such as people that sell vegetables outside a mall were also affected. The committee also met with the owner of a salon which had lost over 80,000 rand in equipment and goods. Then the other issue that was discussed is the issue of loss of income and loss of jobs, because a number of shops were not back being operational after the vandalism. So people were sitting at home with no jobs until they were called again, which is a significant impact, not only on those people that had lost their jobs, but also their families. Livelihood had been affected because one of the things that was highlighted during the visit was that each member of the community that is employed, they support 6 to 7 people. So the impact was beyond just job losses. Then another issue was the issue of loss of property. Beyond the looting, there was vandalism of property and burning of property. Other people had lost not only the stock or the goods from which they sell, they also lost property. And a significant number of properties had to be rebuilt from the ground up, because they were not suitable to just be fixed. And while some had insurance and they put on claims, others didn't have, especially the smaller enterprises didn't have insurance. They highlighted that. Then another issue that was highlighted was the issue of access to healthcare. As a result of the looting, there were companies that tried to make sure that healthcare is accessible by providing services that would otherwise be provided by clinics, maybe because the clinic is far or for some other reasons. They were servicing chronic conditions such as HIV and diabetes. So with the looting, people are now unable to access their medicines. They now have to travel to a clinic which is already overburdened with people. So that was the impact. Another issue that was discussed is the linkages between informal traders and malls. So in some areas where we find that the informal traders were not affected directly, but they were affected indirectly. So people that go to a mall, they go to a mall, but they will also pass the small traders and buy from them. If the mall is closed, right, that means less people are coming through. That means also the informal traders are then affected. Then another issue, which does not relate particularly to enterprises, it relates to municipalities. Municipalities are also affected, because municipalities also get rates and taxes from companies. but when they're not providing a service, they would not get that money. So it is estimated that municipalities will also lose millions as a result, because especially with the malls, they will lose millions of rand in that, which will affect their functioning. The next issue was the issue of making services more accessible. Even with the reduced income of municipalities, they need to ensure that they provide services to local businesses, particularly informal traders. One of the things that was highlighted was the access to permits, which now would be provided free. Previously, informal traders were required to pay a small amount, but now municipalities are providing that at no charge. A permit is important because it allows the informal trader to be registered. It also is important when they are applying for funding. So if they went to CEDA, then CEDA would ask, like, do you have like a trading permit? Are you registered with the municipality? So that is why that was important. The last part was just a highlighting of CEDA and CIFA packages to support enterprises and small businesses and informal traders during this time. It was also highlighted that other departments are putting together packages to support the affected businesses. I think that's all, Chair, from my side. Mr. Herman yesterday said that members can add on conclusions. We usually leave that open for members to include member conclusions and recommendations to the report. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for more informative report. I think now it's for members, as you said, alluded to, that members can make input now. By the assistance of the secretariat, I'll be able to show members if they wish to speak. And also, yes, secretariat.
Chair, we will have Mr. McPherson and Mr. Green, who raised their hands, Chair.
Okay. Honorable McPherson and Honorable Tree.
Thanks, Mr. Mbuyani. May I suggest that we, now that we've gone through this, I mean, this seems to be well captured. Can I then suggest that we then make those submissions for conclusions and recommendations in writing, that we can then flight them as we previously do, and we can sort of try and come to a consolidated position. So I'd just like to recommend that we sort of put them in writing, and then the secretariat tries to bash it into shape, and then we then try and insert that on agreement of everyone into conclusions and recommendations. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honourable.
Thank you, Chair. I think certainly the presentation on the report of the protests and the effect that it's had on businesses across the country, in particular KZN and KwaZulu-Natal, is well captured. Also, I think it reflects what was discussed by the businesses, as well as members who were present. So well done to the secretariat in terms of the presentation that they've given to us on that particular report. My question would be, or my thoughts, Chair, would be in terms of the way forward, whether we are expected to give our concluding remarks to that particular report today, or whether it is going to be sent to us, where we can actually send it through perhaps later today in writing. I'm not sure what the time frames are, so if we could just get some clarity with regards to going ahead.
Chair, Mr. Hermans, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Hermans.
Thank you, Chair.
And thank you to the team at DTIC for a very well-captured report. I just wanted to say that under Makhlebe, I think I got a very strong impression from their presentation of the way the community came forward and workers came forward to defend the company. And I think that's a very important message because it speaks to good corporate responsibility. I don't know, maybe I missed it, Ms. Magalani. But otherwise, Chair, I'm supporting Honorable McPherson's proposal that we do what as we normally do in the past and submit in writing and then see how we consolidate. Okay, did I miss it? Okay. Thank you.
Okay, no, thank you very much, Whip. I think we are all in agreement here that the parties must submit their written submission in terms of the conclusion and the recommendation by the end of the business day today, 5 o'clock, so that we are able to consolidate and put into one report. I think that is the proposal that was made by all members here. And okay. Also,
sorry, yes. My apologies, Chair. We have Mr. Cuthbert raised his hand, Chair, and also Mr. McPherson, Chair.
Oh, okay. No, we can have Mr. Cuthbert, followed by McPherson.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chair, just one piece of added information, and I'm sure that the Secretary can confirm this. I did have a conversation with the MD whilst we were leading the tour throughout Tongat Hulet, and he said to me that they had lost 100 million rand due to the unrest, and that one of the stalls where they keep sugarcane, 4,000 tons of sugarcane, was looted. So I think we should just confirm that information, and it is unfortunate that we didn't have an opportunity to discuss the effects of the social unrest on their business operations as much as we would have liked to, and how we were given the similar opportunity to do so with other businesses.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Cuthbert. We'll get a response from the Secretariat. Over to you, Mr. McPherson.
Thanks, Mr. Mbuyani. Just a process question then from Andre. When do we want to have final deliberations on this report? Is that tomorrow?
Chair, if I may, Chair?
Yes, you can.
Chair, we have scheduled a final consideration for Friday morning. I know the House is sitting from 10 o'clock onwards, but we would like to conclude our business before about 9:45. So the intention is for the committee to meet from 8:30 maybe, so that we can just finalize the conclusions and recommendations and formally adopt the report. So because I think tomorrow there is the issue of the election of the speaker, so I think that tomorrow we do not know how it will unfold. So I would suggest we rather do it on Friday morning and give us opportunity to panel bid the conclusions and the recommendations and forward it to members for their consideration. And hopefully we can meet on Friday morning from office 8 onwards until 9:45 to adopt the report, Chair.
So, Mr. Mbuyani, if I may then just suggest, because it's now going on to 11:30, may I suggest, if we can, that we just push that submission timeline to midday tomorrow. It just gives us 24 hours just to put that all together, and then that should give the Secretariat enough time to do the necessary formatting through the afternoon ahead of the meeting on Friday. I just think it just gives us a little bit more time. Thanks, Mr. Mbuyani.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. McPherson. I can see the hand of Hermes.
Thank you, Chair. I was raising my hand to make exactly the submission that Honorable McPherson just made now for a midday tomorrow. Thank you.
Okay. No, thanks. I think the proposal has been seconded that the due date for today is rescheduled for tomorrow in the midday so that we are able to submit, all of us are able to submit the remarks in terms of the conclusion and the recommendation. I don't know if there's a different view around the proposal and the secondment of the submission. We can have the views open for discussion. Secretariat?
I do not have any hands. I don't know if Mrs. Herman's hands is still an old previous, I won't call it old previous hand.
Yes, it is an old previous hand.
No, it's an old previous hand. That means in terms of this item, we will be able to step off by resolving that the submission will be midday tomorrow. From all parties in terms of the concluding remarks and also recommendation. And also the issue of that was raised by Honorable Cuthbert, the issue of 100 million, we will check the report there and try to consolidate the report. Any other submission that members feel that is not part of the report, they are welcome to submit to the Secretariat so that we consolidate a very much a clear report that is undertaken by the committee. I don't know, Secretariat, if there's any other item, we step off this item so that we continue with the other item.
Chair, there's no further item. We are clear that tomorrow the... but before maybe I conclude, Mr. Tring raised his hand, Chair.
Okay, Honourable Tring.
My apologies, I had myself muted. If I could just request, Andre, if you could actually... or if the Secretary could send me the presentation. I've looked through my emails and for some reason I have could not find it, not unless it wasn't sent to us.
Mr. Ping, are you referring to the presentation of this morning?
Not the morning's presentation. I'm talking about the report on the protests.
Okay, we will we'll forward it to you. We will forward it to you, Mr. Ping.
Thank you.
Chair, yeah. If I may,
okay.
Okay. No further issues from outside, Chair, that we will await the submissions from parties by midday tomorrow, 12 o'clock tomorrow, and make the necessary and ensure that it's procedurally in order when we present it to the committee on Friday morning, Chair, starting 8:30. So nothing from outside, and there's no further agenda items, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. I think also the question by Honorable Trigg, we will be also clarified in terms of resending the emails in terms of the report, yes. I think if there's no other item to be dealt with, I think let me just take the opportunity to thank you members for participating, yeah? And also check whether there's any announcement on your side, Secretariat, before we can conclude.
No additional announcements, Chair. We're fine from outside, Chair.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, members. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Long live the Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Well done on your chairing, Chair.
Thank you.